Is it the end of the world? Yes, it is the end of the world. And it's also the beginning of a brand new, solid, juggalo world for us all to enjoy.
What's up?
What up?
What's cracking, yeah, yo?
What's cracking, lacking?
How you doing, man?
Movie, bro.
I'm all movie, bro. Yeah, my name is Kyle, aka Keezy, if you want.
I'm Carver Law, y'all.
And this is Deck One Delt.
Yes, sir.
Juggalo podcast for juggalos or not.
Fuck yeah, man. Bringing you that wisdom only we can, I guess.
That's right.
Just dropping tidbits of our past memories and our little knowledge of what we got in this world. You know,
all right,
this Juggalo community.
That's movie, bro.
Movie. Movie.
All right. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Cool. Yeah. We were just chilling, hanging out, discussing, talking, catching up before the show.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a little bit. It's been a while, man. I was over here not too long ago because, you know, you had a little thing. So I was over here for that. But like, as far as like, yeah, discussing and being on this Juggalo tip.
Jugging it up.
Yeah. So polishing it off, you know, we haven't done anything like that in a while. So I've been about a month.
Yeah, I'll say 3 weeks, man. Give us a little bit of credit.
Yeah.
What's up, six viewers? If you're listening, comment and we'll shout you out. How about that? All right.
For sure.
So the gathering came and gone. I fucking subscribed to all those Juggalo groups and shit, and I don't recall a single bit of info or news coming out of the gathering that tickled my fancy.
Yeah, it seemed
I didn't see cool merch. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right spot, but I didn't see cool anything. Like, they didn't even do a fucking seminar. They just did a dog beat set, which, don't get me wrong, that's cool, but I would like to hear what the fuck's going on. You know, that's the one time we hear from the fucking horse's mouth.
Yeah, it was weird. A lot of people, from what I saw, like commenting and shit like that. There was some people like, where the fuck is the seminar? And no one bitched about the show, the dog beat show. But I guess from what I heard, and I don't even know if ICP said this, but there have just been so many seminars where they said all this shit that they were planning on doing, and so much of it never happens.
I get that.
So why do it? Plus, it's the 20th, so they wanted to change. They wanted to do something different for the 20th. So I guess
they should have at least answered a few questions after or some shit.
Yeah,
I would have been. I know if I was there, I'd have been like, that's it.
I think that's mainly the reason why we haven't heard anything is literally because the seminar is the biggest thing.
And maybe there isn't much, you know? And if that's the case, that's okay too. Y'all are just doing your own fucking thing, whatever. You're planning a tour or whatever. Yeah. There's not many wheels turning right now. I don't fucking know, but
yeah, I think it's probably that way because they probably put so much shit into the gathering that they just didn't have anything. anything to fucking say.
Yeah, with Fearless Fred and the gathering, you know, coming in hot right behind it. They had a busy last 6 months, you know.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's all it is. It's just there wasn't a seminar to go off to have like all these news.
Yeah, there's no like announcements.
Outlets and shit.
And they're as far as I can tell, they're the only fucking artists on Psychopathic anymore. Like, I can't tell if Ouija's still on Psychopathic or I know Light's not. I fucking commented on one of his posts like, hey, bro, you still on Psychopathic? And he said, somebody commented like, no, he's not on Psychopathic anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was.
Nope.
Huh.
He's doing his own like Monstar entertainment thing.
Okay, but he was still at the gathering, yep. and he's still
So was Blase Rose.
He still probably, I would imagine, uses like resources that from Psychopathic, right?
Maybe.
And I mean, he's still affiliated with him, I would assume.
All he ever did was release that one EP, I think.
Yeah, that's what it seems like everybody's doing. I mean,
Hoodoo had like two albums, but it seemed like nobody really cared about those, so I can't tell if he's on Psychopathic. He did an album with Anybody Killer
like
last week. came out, or At the Gathering or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, I did hear about
that. The Have-Nots.
Yeah. It seems like everybody is following in the footsteps of like what ABK did.
Yeah. They're just kind of like dipping their toe in, like, oh, yeah. I'm a little bit on Psychopathic, but I'm a little bit not.
Well, I think what it is like ICP is finally to the point where it's like, you know, we have to concentrate on ourselves.
Yeah.
So this is what we'll do. Come with us. You can hop on our, you know, hop on the bandwagon for like an album.
Mm-hmm.
We'll expose you to the Juggalo world. And then after that, you're on your own.
They either bite or they don't.
Yeah. You know?
But it seems like the Juggalo world is really feeling Ouija. So,
yeah.
I mean, that seems like a, if anybody's still on Psychopathic, I would assume it's him.
Yeah, he seems pretty. He had a seminar.
Mm.
I think the seminar before last year.
What's up, John Davison?
Because I think last year, yeah, what's up? I think last year there was still the question if Light was on Psychopathic last year. So I don't know if he had a seminar or what, but I remember, I think it might have been the one in Oklahoma. Where Light and Ouija had a seminar together.
Oh,
and
okay.
That was like a really fucking cool seminar. You should, if you haven't seen that one, you should watch that.
All right.
Yeah. And then after that, you didn't see much of Light. Like, you didn't see a seminar or anything. So it's like, yeah, what the fuck?
It's hard keeping up anymore. So I guess what I was trying to say is, because of that, you know, it's not like the old times where Blaze had, you know, everyone wanted to hear what the fuck Blaze was about to do. Everyone wanted to hear what the fuck Twisted is about to do. ABK, I'm sure, had his own fucking seminar back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. Everybody did, right?
So all of those were like fucking events. Like, now they don't really have those. Like, there's no Dark Lotus being worked on. There's no Riders, you know. They have enough fucking little acquaintances where they can kind of do a new school Riders if they really wanted to. But
yeah, there was talks that they were going to do that, like we, like
I listened to it,
like Ouija, and they were going to do new Riders with Ouija and
Ouija Light Hoodoo.
Yeah,
keep ABK will be in it. You know he will.
Yeah, I mean, fucking
maybe Isham will. He was a Rider on the last one.
Yeah.
He was, what was his name? Salt? No, ABK was Sawed Off. I can't remember Isham's.
I really would think it'd be dope if it was just ICP, Ouija, and Hoodoo.
Yeah, I like Hoodoo. I think he's pretty dope.
Yeah, I think he's I like his voice, and he's got some, like, he's got clear, decisive rhymes that sound good. They flow good. Yeah.
He just needs some better marketing, I think.
Yeah.
You know. But well, whatever, it's all good.
I would like to honestly see him like coming to his own. Like, he can drop the makeup for all I give a fuck.
Yeah,
he can drop that whole shtick of being like, you know, painted and stuff. Just be like a normal dude, and I think honestly he would appeal better. Kind of like how Ouija's doing, man. Yeah. Ouija, you know, Ouija's appealing because he has not changed for Psychopathic. He's himself. That's the way he's always been.
Yeah.
And it's appealing.
Yeah, I feel that. And he's also just, he does more of a style that's, you know, more popular to 20-year-olds these days.
Yeah. Definitely that. Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's the more trappy style.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, I think he does it in a way that still can appeal to people, I guess, people like me, because, you know, I don't like trap, but I kind of dig his music.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I've never got into like the really simple, like repeating shit, which he seems to do a lot, which I really like. I want to like Ouija. I've tried listening to his album, both of his, two different albums, I guess I should say.
What was the one with the baby on, like, the Nirvana?
I think that
one?
Was his first Psychopathic album.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Gutter Water.
Yeah.
I did listen to that, and I don't remember like anything jumping out at me. A few tracks I definitely remember not really liking, but it was fine other than that.
Yeah, I gave it a listen when it came out all the way through, and I remember like digging a lot of it, but there were definitely some like, okay, this is some repetitive shit, but you know, the Juggalos are digging it though. Like, I really believe like he fits. He's fitting really good with the Juggalo community.
It's like it's you could see like the beginning of this like new era of like being a Juggalo and shit, you know.
And if they keep doing that, if they keep inviting people onto the label that you know, can do it themselves. Because Ouija had a past of being able to do stuff, do it himself. He had like a group, and I forget what it was called. Like, I can't remember, but I know I remember reading I've heard shit about it. Swagtooth, I think, something like that. Yeah, he already had a pass on some fans. He came aboard, and he's just doing it himself, you know. And if they do that with more rappers, I believe they could build Psychopathic back up. And they're going, and if they do it with enough different kinds of rappers, you're going to have different flavors. You know, you're going to have. No, I don't believe it's all going to be like every new person they're going to invite onto the label is going to, you know, coincidentally be trap rappers just because they're younger.
No, I don't think it'll be like that.
Yeah.
There's still like dope rappers out there that are just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah. So. I mean, think about the next, man, I can't even fucking think of his name now. G-Mo, you know? There's young guys like that out there.
I think Ouija is a nice like compliment to Psychopathic, like G-Mo is to like M&E. Like, I think G-Mo, he's exactly what you're saying. Same shit, like Ouija Mac. Like
he had a fan base.
He already was his own thing. He kept it real throughout, and there was no like weird transition. It's just now he's doing it with a little bit bigger budget, I'm sure. You know, so.
Yeah, if they would concentrate on that, not concentrate because they got to concentrate on themselves. But it's almost like inviting now. It's like, hey, you're doing this. You got some fans. Come over here, and we'll expose you to our shit.
Yeah,
and maybe you know.
I think they'll mix well.
Yeah,
that's essentially all they got. If they just keep it up. I mean, Twisted was like a fucking. They hit it out of the park their first fucking time. You know what I mean? So I guess. It's not always that easy, I guess, is what we've seen, you know, with obviously Blaze was, he almost got there. I think he, with a little more exposure, he probably could have been, you know, heralded as high as Twisted, you know what I mean? But I always still think he never quite made, quite the level of Twisted.
Yeah. I have not heard of 50 Shades of Death from Ouija. I haven't heard a lot from Ouija. Gutterwater is pretty much it. I've seen some of his videos, but I have not heard of that John Davidson. So
I'll click on him on Spotify. Maybe he's on there.
We'll check it out though. Since you
50 Shades, I'd have to look it up.
Since you brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to hear like motherfuckers like dopest Ouija songs. Like tell me. Cause
we don't know much about Ouija or any, I don't know a lot about any of the newer cats in the Juggalo game. So, but definitely open to listening to, anything really. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, this episode, we will be discussing, I'm just moving on. Sorry.
That was
abrupt.
Ahead.
My bad. We will be discussing Tales from the Lotus Pod from 2001. That's next on our list of ICP albums to run through on the discography.
Yeah, we've been kind of going chronologically as best we can.
Yeah, I'm sure we skipped like a couple small ones. We didn't do like Fuck Off or Carnival Christmas. Just not really necessary. But we're up to Tales from the Lotus Pod. If you want to hear any other album before that, look for it. It's on our channel.
Yeah, we're doing like the heavy hitting albums, NDPs, you know, whatever you want to call it. But the ones that definitely are staples of the Juggalo world in that time. And this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, Tales from the Lotus Pod. Like Dark Lotus had been teased for, I feel like, fucking years.
Yeah, wasn't it teased in the
Jekyll Brothers?
Even before that, in the Tunnel of Love booklet, wasn't it?
Oh, it may have been.
Yeah.
Well, no, because Tunnel of Love. Well, I don't know who would have been Dark Lotus at that point because they. I don't think they had Twisted.
Was it in the reprint Tunnel of Love booklet?
That's possible.
Yeah.
I know that it was like Echo Side. I remember on Jekyll Brothers was supposedly like the first Dark Lotus song. You know what I mean? Is Twisted on that song? Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So That and then I Don't Care came out and the Pendulum. That was kind I remember that being discussed on like a Violent J blog about being a Dark Lotus shit.
So the Pendulum was releasing at the time this came out, and then the Pendulum ended like winded down and finished after this came out.
Yes, correct. Okay. So the Pendulum was coming out that entire year. This is our copy, or that one specifically is my copy of Tales from Low Spot. Unfortunately, I don't have the disc. I let someone fucking borrow it and never seen it again.
So between the two of us, we can make a whole album because I have the disc. It's not in this case, but I do have the disc in the car.
Yeah.
But I don't have the booklet.
Right.
I lost my booklet. And we both went to the signing. They did a tour. Mm-hmm. Dark Lotus tour where they were in an in-store tour.
Yeah.
And we both got the signing. So, but yeah, between the two of us, we have a complete fucking edition.
So we got that at the gathering that year in Toledo and listened to it. And like, I mean, I remember it being hyped up. We had heard Black Magic before it came out. Cause that was on their website. I remember listening to it specifically. You remember that song?
I remember the song, but I didn't listen to anything before the album came out.
Okay.
Because I wasn't getting online and listening to anything. Maybe if you showed me, maybe, but I honestly don't remember.
Here's my copy. It does have signatures from Twisted and Blaze, but I didn't get ICP to sign mine because I had them sign. I had a sealed copy of Carnival of Carnage I had them sign that I ended up selling. But anyways, I got 3/5 of, or I'm sorry, that's only 1/2 of Dark Lotus on that one. You know what? After we decided we were going to talk about this, I did look up Mars to see what the fuck he was doing. Which, by the way, let's be completely clear. This is the fucking album.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The Red Cross.
Absolutely.
16-track.
Yeah.
Original Mars version is Tales from the Lotus Pod. All right.
Yeah.
We all are aware of the ABK gold version. That one is, it does not count. Okay.
Yeah. I don't count it at all.
That was a side project. That's fan fiction. Okay. Of the real version.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I think most juggalos agree too. I think they
Dude,
agree.
Do they though? I've talked to so many people who like the ABK version. I mean, that one is a fucking abomination. This album is one of the best albums ever to be released on Psychopathic Records.
For sure.
And they really like took it down to like a 5. You know what I mean? Like they took it from being this album is a 10. They took it to being a 5 by taking Mars out and putting ABK in.
I was just watching a video not too long ago, and shout outs to DC Fago guy. And I think in his video, they were talking about it. I think they were reviewing it they're reviewing some of it, top 5 or something. And they're talking about the Until Eternity line.
Yes. Oh my God.
Terrible, man.
I mean, and what he's referring to is, if you don't know, is in the song Juggalo Family, it's Mass Murder Makes Me Happy, Dead Bodies Make Me Happy. Say what you will of me, I'll always have Juggalo family.
Yeah.
All right. Mars says, say what you will of me. Yeah. They would, in the gold version, they have ABK replacing it with Until Eternity. And it sounds so bad.
It's horrible.
It sounds like the editing. Whoever did the editing on that shit, I hope they never use them again.
Yeah, it was so fast.
There's parts where like you can still hear Mars's dubs in the background because obviously they only had like the one mastered background track to work with. So they still it's when Mars says, whatever the fuck he says. He's like, boy, you'll D-I-E. If it wasn't for Shaggy, my shirt would still be baggy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. That's all in Juggalo Family. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at D-I-E. You can still hear Mars in the background saying, D-I-E, on the ABK version where he's saying whatever dumb shit he's saying.
Like, I don't understand why... why did they even do that?
Did maybe Mars had a trademark on Say What You Will of Me?
Maybe. or they just wanted to wash their hands of it and try to like rewrite history and be like, no, ABK is, it's like, no, dude.
It's probably because ABK has his list, but he's like, say what do me. They're like, make up, say something else without an S in it.
Yeah,
bro.
It's just,
this song's gonna be a classic.
I mean, I get what happened. They fell out with Mars and they just wanted to, completely change it. And you know, you fucked up by not having him on it in the first, or ABK on it in the first place. Yeah. You got someone that you fell out with literally immediately after. But guess what? It was done and over with, and it's a lot fucking better. So just let it ride.
Yeah, that album, you can, like, the next album, admit your fault, put ABK in. For what it's worth, Black Rain, I really like. I have no issue with ABK's contribution.
Yeah,
to Black Rain.
Black Rain was good.
Yeah,
Black
he
Rain
did a good job. It was it was mainly just the replacing of Mars that we have beef with.
You can't replace something that like just fits so well.
Right. And Mars, you know, he was like a different, he was like a breath of fresh air, I guess, as far as Juggalo artists go. He had like a way different wacky voice, you know.
I thought his voice was dope.
Me too.
He had he's one of the dopest voices on that album.
I know. He's so like different, and like his rapping style in all honesty, he's not the best rapper, but I have no issue with what he did on this album. His rapping was fine, on par with everybody else's at least.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think he had some of the best verses on that album.
He helped that album be as good as it was, in all honesty. Like he definitely added to the awesomeness of it, you know? And
he had some of the darkest lines too.
Yeah, because of that, I was really looking forward to, I mean, it seemed like they were about to sign Mars at that time. Like, I was like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm on the Mars train. Like, they were talking about doing that Bloody Brothers album with ICP and Mars that was going to be like all like redneck themed or some shit. Do you remember that?
I don't.
I think they end up taking a lot of those ideas and applying them to Boondocks, by the way. But maybe I'm the only one that remembers the Bloody Brothers. But nevertheless, I was on the Mars train. I like, you know, they released that Fuck Dem song on the website. Fuck.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, that was actually pretty cool song.
That song was pretty good, you know. Mars is the shit on this album. Now, I looked up Mars to see what the fuck he was up to. I'm like, man, I'm gonna see if there's like a new Mars album, like a new, you know, I'm gonna see what the fuck he's been doing. I know after this falling out, he did some embarrassing shit about him being the real Dark Lotus, and he was still painting his face and acting all argumentative.
Well, they fell out, and I think that was just him trolling ICP for like whatever.
So I didn't pay much attention to him at that time, so I kind of wrote him off. But anyway,
yeah, I think all Juggalos did at that point.
I'm building up to where Mars is now. What do you think he's doing now? He's still doing music. I'll give you that hint.
I would imagine he's probably not doing music, but you just said he is. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine I can't imagine him still rapping.
Yeah, he's still rapping.
Still rapping.
But he's a born again Christian, and he does he does fucking Jesus rap, bro. I swear to God, I looked at him.
Christ, did that dude? And then he goes back and listens to shit he said on this album, which is some of the most fucked up shit that a Christian could say.
I know, dude. Look,
raping nuns and shit.
He has this album called Thrive. This is a new album. Like, this is from 2017. I was like, okay, cool. Let me check it out. He has a song called Zombie Apocalypse on here. And it's like a love song or some shit. You know what I mean?
A love song.
It's so, here, I'll play a small snippet of it.
Shout out Dylan Justice.
What up, Dylan? Mars likes all my tweets on Twitter. Oh, wow. Dude, we should have seen if we could get Mars on the fucking show to talk about this album, you know?
Yeah,
how
probably,
amazing would that have been?
That'd be great.
Dylan, tweet Mars right on Twitter for us and see if he'll call us.
Tell him, or at least jump in the chat.
Yeah, tell him to jump in the chat. That'd be great. Dude, please. I don't know. I didn't know he had an online presence. But nevertheless, I know it seems like I'm backpedaling, but I wasn't about to hate on him, but I was shocked to see that Mars is doing like gospel rap shit. And I even went to his website. I was like, wow, like, let me see if what's going on. He has a website, like, it's still up that tells like the little history of him, like people he toured with Korn and everything back in the day with Ministry and shit. Did his shit with ICP. He talks about Dark Lotus on there, and then it talks about how he had some epiphany, he's, and then he even said he was done with music, but Jesus called him back to it and started doing it again. And, you know, whatever, you know, that's what's up. He's doing his thing, more power to him. But I, like I said, I was just caught off guard by that.
Yeah.
His contribution to the Juggalo world is, we want to thank him for it. You know,
it was small, but big.
It was,
because it wasn't a lot, but what he did was very impactful, because it's on, because it's one of the best albums Psychopathic ever put out.
This album set the standard for Dark Lotus. Like, yeah, every album after this, like, it was a fucking hype train. Like,
yeah,
especially Black Rain with the fallout of Mars and shit. We were like, oh my fucking God, what's going to happen? How is this going to work? And, you know, they hit you with fucking Kaboom right off the bat on that album.
Yeah.
I can make it thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit. Oh, I remember slapping that in the car on the way home when buying it from Media Play.
Yeah, that was a good album. I do like that album. But there's just something about Tales from the Lotus Pod. There's something about this album that I don't think Black Rain had.
Yeah, for sure. This album had some history, you know?
Yeah.
There was some like lyrics for this album and shit. Like, they talked about how they, I believe them, that they really looked up like weird books and incantations and spell. Like, I'm sure they went through some weird, wacky shit. Like, Jay talked about how he was in like a really dark place and shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at. And the space Jay was in is also another big part of this album. His mental space. And how he applied himself to this album is huge. It's very, you can feel it. You can hear it. It's got an aura to it on this album.
I dare I say, this might have been like Jay at his creative peak.
I've said that. I've said that before. Like, this and Bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think till about
Shangri-La
and Wizard of the Hood.
Yeah.
Like that whole kind of time frame right there.
It was unfucking stoppable.
And because you had this era where he was at his darkest, and then he changed and was almost reborn into this new, like, positive being because of Shangri-La. And then that he hit his peak with that.
Mm.
So you had literally both sides of the coin with Jay in a matter of a few years, where he made his contributions to the albums at that time were just incredible.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I fucking love Jay on this album. It's one of my favorite Jay personas, one of my favorite eras, and like, it, just some of his lines on this album are fucking great, because you can tell he doesn't give a shit about like trying to sound, you know, like he's not really trying to sound really like he has in the past. He's tried to flow in certain ways. Like, this album, he don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
it just comes naturally.
Yeah,
everything he did on this album came so fucking naturally.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Yeah.
Cycle occurs. Oh, I'm trying to make sure this isn't going to burst our eardrums when it starts playing Alibaba. Oh, here we go. There we go. I never really listened to this intro like that much. It's been a while since I heard it.
Yeah, the intro is probably the only thing that didn't really.
I usually skip it, to be honest. It's not a very memorable intro. We're sitting here hyping up the album so much, but the intro is just weird, creepy talking. And it goes into Alibaba, which is one of my favorite songs on the album, to be honest.
Yeah.
Here, let's play this. So people can look at the track listing with us. They're talking about the Gospel of the Dark Carnival and everything on this shit. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that even this album is hyping up the Six Jokers card, you know, and this is supposed to be like Dark Lotus. Like, this just goes to show that this album falls in canon with the Dark Carnival, you know, with ICP's legacy.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I consider this like one of the key buildups to the sixth.
Also, it's just going to quit. Yeah, it really is. And that, I think, was a sure sign of that. Oh, look, it's showing this dope ass picture. I need to find out a way to put that on the screen for people. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, so the beat, so the production on this, it says here in the companion piece, the book, the Behind the Paint, that there was actually a lot of involvement, a lot of producers on this album.
Oh, yeah? I know, I'm pretty sure this is the first time, it might be the first time Mike P and Mikey Clark collaborated.
Yeah.
At least on an ICP project.
Yeah, Mikey Clark would produce some of the tracks. Twisted would produce the rest with their homie Fritz the Cat from the Demo Hut. Mike P must have really gotten inspired while engineering for us recording Dark Lotus, because he came up with a batch of tracks that were the whip. We jumped all over it. Now Mike P was on Lotus 2. So yeah, there's quite a few producers right there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who produces what. I don't think I've ever looked that up. But this song is a great opener.
This song, like it especially like you don't know what to expect when you first turn the. Mind you, we're at the gathering. We throw this album in. We all buy it, obviously. We throw this album in. We don't know what to expect, really. This song hits us right off the bat. Mars talking. There's fucking backwards talking and weird, like. Speaking in tongues and all kinds of crazy shit happening right off the bat on this song. Like, this song, as far as I could tell, isn't really about anything. It's just them like introducing Dark Lotus, yeah. Essentially.
It almost gave me a little more of a ritualistic type of feel.
Whoa. Yeah.
Kind of a Malenko feel, but more of the magic, dark magic type of side that the Malenko had.
Yeah.
Kind of I felt like it kind of bled into this. This type of feel.
So this song's sweet. Obviously, I'm here. Let me kind of skip through this. I was trying to make it to where people could see this picture, cool picture, but I can't fucking figure it out. Yeah. I tried, and all it did was show a million tunnel version of that. Us. Did you see that?
Oh yeah. Saw that. The fucking.
I'm over here fucking with this. We're trying to do a pod, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, we're trying to put a nice little graphic on there for you, but
let me see. Did Mars already rap on this?
By the way, Blaze's verse.
Oh yeah, on this song.
Like, Blaze went in on this.
Let's go back. Oh yeah, he's like just rolling right there. Pray to the Father.
Yeah, and that shit like that, like the chanting all over this album.
You could tell they like spent some time. This wasn't an album they just like slapped together. You know what I mean? Like, the production on this album is incredible too.
Yeah.
Like, this song in particular, like right off the bat, like there's so many layers and shit happening to it. You know?
Oh yeah, definitely one of the best produced albums that I think Psychopathics ever put out.
Yes. All right, next song. Next song is Something. And by the way, we didn't know what the fuck these songs were called. The back of this album is just black.
Oh yeah, they didn't.
There's no track listing inside. The fucking booklet is just weird hieroglyphics and shit and pyramids. So
what'd they do? Just to release the track list online eventually?
I think so. Yeah. Like once you like ripped it and it was like on like whatever Amazon or whatever at the time, there was fucking names of the songs. But Something is not what I would have called this song. Anything. What happens on the hook on this song? I'm already forgetting. Something's talking.
Yeah,
oh, crippling rate me is what we would always call it and shit. Yeah, this song's cool. Very creepy and weird. Definitely like a horrorcore type of song, but they're saying some wacky shit though. Just being crazy, I guess. Is that what you would say that song's about?
Yeah, yeah. Something, yeah. Exactly. It's just
another like schizophrenic.
It's the Lotus like sinking into their minds and corrupting their brains. And
Chris Seifert Jr. Whoop whoop. He said, "Can I get a whoop whoop?" And then I guess that's a no. Sorry, bro. We were in the middle of a fucking important convo.
Oh yeah, yeah. Whoop whoop, man. Sorry, we got it. We got the chat kind of like right here, and we don't look up all the time. We're not trying to. yeah. Whoop whoop, brother.
Oh yeah, somebody saw Matt the Cat back there. Yeah, we have a cat named Matt the Cat. Anyways, All right, but yeah, something. It's a fine song. Not my favorite song on the album, but you know, I know the words.
It hits. I know the bass hits on that one for sure.
Oh yeah, we all had fucking. Well, I don't know if you did, but I know I fucking had my bumps in my truck around this time and shit.
Yeah, I never had bumps, but you did. Shane did. Billy did. I had like five friends with bumps.
Hell yeah.
Ben, I think at one point.
All right, Hurt Myself, though. That song is the whip.
Yeah, this is a great song. And it's even Jay in the very beginning even says something about it being sexual.
Yeah.
Like sexual and.
He's literally just chanting that I'm horny.
Yeah. It's about hurting yourself to get off.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah, it's tight.
Yeah.
I mean, this album, like. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's looked at as like a horrorcore classic or whatever, but man, it fucking is.
Yeah,
should be.
Jay's opening verse to this is great too. Talking about fucking. Get my head around.
I got about 4 inches. You can see everything he's saying.
Back of the gurney bed. Yeah, it's just
retraction. It's like like this kind of
so
shit,
much energy in his rhymes in this one.
It makes you wish they would have had the fucking budget for video, like cool videos.
Oh
and shit
yeah,
back then,
yeah.
Know? I feel like this kind of shit screams like make a cool video
for sure. They didn't they talk about going back and making videos to some of their older shit?
Oh my god, dude! If they did that, I'd be in fucking hell.
They wouldn't do the Mars version though. That'd be the problem.
Oh fuck, you're right.
So don't touch Tails ever again. Just leave it.
Oh, Dylan said this song's a masterpiece. Chris said In My Room by ICP would be another good one. I fucking agree.
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, so everybody's verse on this song is just them talking about hurting themselves and how they love it. It's awesome. Oh yeah, and the hook.
The hook's
that's
good.
Chick.
Yeah.
Ah.
Catch yourself. I remember when I first heard this, I was like, because you didn't hear chicks on their stuff much.
Very rarely, unless it was supposed to be like funny.
It gave it like a bigger budget feel for some reason.
Yeah,
right. Just to have a chick on there. Well, back then, when I first heard it, I was like, man, they're stepping their game up type of shit.
Hell yeah. Look, see if I can take a little skin off the cap. Oh, that was Mars' verse.
I might slice up my face and my lips. Not a re is begging me to let it flow.
Mars is so cool.
Shaggy's funny in this.
Yeah.
Bowling league.
They all
I got kicked off my bowling league.
They all have like they all put the like perfect amount of like action in their voices and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Go back to Shaggy. I think this is one of my favorite Shaggy verses on this entire album. You've got your habits.
Oh, well, say hello.
It's just, see,
smooth it back down.
Kicked off my bowling leagues because I show up by the
bowling
ball
and
leave.
That's fine.
It says it's just a stupid shit, but it's great.
Call Upon Your Gods. That song's followed up by Call Upon Your Gods, which, by the way, I heard myself. That's kind of like it's a horrorcore song for sure, but it's a little more like,
it's more like funny.
Yeah. It's more funny.
Like a classic ICP type of funny
for sure.
Track. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. But yeah, this song it blew my fucking wig back when I first heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, dude, just listen to it now. Like this whole album just brings back so many gushing memories of the fucking gathering, dude.
Yeah, me too, man.
Like that's all I can think about when I hear this shit.
I remember hearing people at the gathering talking about the album.
Yeah.
And I remember one chick specifically saying she was going to remember every single lyric to this album. She's like, I'm going to remember every fucking lyric. And just talk about how good the album was. And I think it was actually before I even heard it. And we heard it later in the truck, I think.
I remember hearing it like in the hallway of the fucking hotel, like bits and pieces of Alibaba or something. But it just sounded so foreign, you know? It was like off the fucking track. It was the first time like shit seemed off the track, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. It definitely seemed like it was a bit like bigger budget. Like they kind of they leveled up and kind of stepped up without being in the mainstream eye with this album.
Yeah.
But it seemed like in the juggler world, they like hit a new peak of shit. I don't know. It's hard to explain. They just put out this bomb album that took Juggalo World by storm at that point.
Yeah.
And everybody fucking loved it. It was just like, this Dark Lotus is the new shit, and you just can't fuck with it. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, the hook on this song is incredible. Every song has its own very unique sound to it on this album, too. Like, nothing really, like, blends in, you know? No,
but it all has
a theme.
Yeah, it's all under this umbrella that kind of has a theme in it. And you know, when you hear these beats and when you hear these tracks, you know it's a Tales from the Lotus Pod track.
Yeah.
You know it's off that album.
Mm.
It just has that feel. Everybody has that type of energy.
Yeah.
The beats and songs are so separate from each other, and they sound so much different, but the energy everybody had is what links everything together.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, I feel like at that time, that was when like ICP, Twisted, Blaze, like they were all like, they were all meshing, and like whatever I don't know if they had creative like idea sessions or whatever, or if they all were just like so in the fucking zone and like tuned into each other at that time, but like they really all like they could just spin it like it, you know. Yeah. It just wasn't shit.
I'm sure that's what it was, man. I'm sure that's exactly what it was. Just they were young at this point, or younger. Yeah. You know, they were in their late 20s, early 30s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They were you know, it was still new. The Gathering was still pretty new.
Yeah.
They just, yeah, it was just, it was a different world at this point. It was a very different time back then. Yeah, man. And they're going off that high, that six, coming up to that six high, you know. It was just great.
Chris said, preach. Dylan said he wants to come on when we do Hell's Pit.
Okay. For sure.
We'll hit you up, Dylan. Anyway, this song, everybody comes hard as fuck on this song too. Like everybody like brings like their A game. Like, all right, you want me to write a fucking rap verse? Here you go.
Yeah.
Bam, on this fucking song. You know, they're all their verses have tell their stories about, you know, believing in God at the last minute. Mars flexes this weird rhyme style right here. You know?
In the Bible, in the bottom of me.
Yeah. That they lied. It's inside of me.
It almost felt like a horrorcore kind of Tupac kind of rap, you know, kind of.
It's a good day to die.
Yeah.
That shit is so tight.
I think the hook to this is though gotta be the centerpiece to this song.
Oh yeah. They knocked out of the fucking park. Oh, Robbie Hunter, what's up, bro? He said this is the best Juggalo album.
For sure. Definitely one of them, man. It's up there. It's definitely my top three.
Yeah, I would agree for sure.
Favorite fucking Juggalo albums of all time.
I mean, I just can't say enough good shit. And We Danced, even this fucking song. You know, this seems like a song like you want to hate, you know what I mean? You fucking can't.
No, I love this song. I actually, Adina likes this song. My fiance, nice. I showed her this song. Like she'll sing the hook every now and then.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, this song is catchy. The beat's catchy. It's funny. It's got a funny premise to it. I don't know. It's just great.
Yeah,
the beat kicks in and you're like, wait, what the fuck?
It's a weird, like bubbly, like wacky beat. This is like I throw this in the same category as like Spin the Bottle and shit like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I would actually put this above. I like this a little bit better than those kind of Spin the Bottle and
like bitch songs.
Yeah, this one's it's just got something for everybody on this album. I think everybody's verse brings something for kind of anybody to like.
Yeah. Getting kind of freaky, biting on my neck. And We Danced. And like, not to mention like to name the song And We Danced, you know, like it's just so ballsy and like weird, like, you know,
I don't even dance. But it's saying dance. It's like, and I don't even dance.
Yeah.
we're scrub juggalos who don't dance, but you know, we're dancing because we're feeling this.
But I know I see him.
All right, I think Monoxide owned this song with his verse. He spits on this, dude.
Okay. Blood. Oh, I thought that was Jamie Madrox. All right, moving on. Black Magic. like I said, I remember hearing this song prior to the album, and this song really got me hyped for the album. Like, I was like, if the album is like this, this is going to be a wild ride, you know? And it kind of is.
This reminds me of a Malenko kind of thing, too. Like, all these, like, Black Magic type of tracks, kind of, like, because that was kind of the theme of Malenko. Was Malenko was the magician, the using the black magic and type. So I always got the feel. I always connected these types of tracks to Malenko with this shit.
Yeah, I feel that. This I guess would be kind of similar to that.
Yeah.
Rob said We Dance is more vibey than Spin the Bottle, less story and more song you can jam to. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this song is just weird, like lyrics that this song definitely was like mostly picked from like fucking voodoo books or whatever they're reading that supposedly at this time. But
yeah, it's a more obscure kind of song, but it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Because
it sounds like it's a magic spell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a long ass magic spell.
It gave the album that feel. Like it gave the album that ritual feel.
Yeah.
That what the whole Tales Lotus Pod thing is about. Like, this is kind of the song that would paint the picture for you of that feeling.
The beat on this song is so, like, strange, too. I'm just trying to imagine it without the lyrics. Like, I don't know. Like, I always try to do that when I listen to a song. Like, how would I have written to this beat? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I can't even imagine, like, Mike, whoever produced this. I would guess Mike P probably did this song. It just sounds newer, more, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got a lot of different instruments. I know it's got some strings to it. Like, it's got some cello or violin. I'm hearing some weird percussion instruments, almost like some, like, almost like indigenous percussion type shit. That you'll hear in the background, like like weird shit like that.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was gonna mention Jay's verse on this song. He's mentioning like all his verses, all like shit that he's perceiving as magic. That's just like regular shit.
Yeah, which is almost where Miracles came from.
I was just gonna say it's exactly the same concept.
Yeah.
So that's why like when people were making a big deal about Miracles and shit like.
We've already heard it.
Yeah, we've already
heard Jay's perception of that.
Right, we know the concept, so it didn't really like. I get the meme; it's funny and shit. You know, it never bothered me. I thought it was always funny and shit, but that's why like that never really struck me as like that funny or odd because I get what he's trying to say. You know what I mean? Like he lays it out a little more simply in this song.
But everything he said in that song was like the way he strung it together was great. He was mind over body control, fucking lightning bugs. You know, it's just
hypnosis, ESP,
mental
telepathy.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
I agreed with everything he said. It's all weird and crazy.
He didn't tell a story, but you could. It was like somebody was telling you a list of things that, and you could feel it.
Yeah,
like he's going da da da.
Yeah,
da da da. You know, and you're
here's
like,
all the things that's magic. Yeah. You know,
and it's just not many rappers can do that. They can literally just say shit with a list, rap it to you, and you can still feel it and get a story from it.
Yeah. And by the way, this backwards talking part, I'm pretty sure he's just talking about the end will consume us all, the six is coming and shit like that. I remember like Juggalo Sites reversing it and shit back in the day, but don't quote me on it obviously, but something like that.
Chris says Monoxide killed it in the Cypher 4. I'll have to go back and listen to that. I don't remember, but Monoxide kills it on pretty much everything he does.
Monoxide's good at what he does.
Yeah, I think Monoxide's definitely, he shines on this album too a lot. I think him, Jay, and Mars are my favorites on this album.
So this song is, according to this YouTube video I've pulled up, it's called Gimme That Blood, but according to my Groove Music, they're calling it Taste of Blood. I don't know. I don't know what's the correct answer.
Yeah.
I would call it Gimme That Blood if like I was telling somebody like, hey, you know that one Dark Lotus song, Gimme That Blood.
Gimme That Blood. Everybody knows. I love that hook.
You know
too.
Taste of Blood by Dark Lotus?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. If you said Taste of Blood, I would not know. If you said Gimme That Blood, I would know exactly what you're talking about.
So it's fucking Gimme That Blood, all right?
Yeah. Fuck you, man. Gimme That Blood.
So this song is like a companion piece to Hurt Myself. Like it's like to me, I've always kind of thought about them like the B. This is the B side to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but like they're just talking about loving drinking blood and shit in this song. But it's like also got like a more happy, upbeat kind of vibe to it. You know, it's like they're almost like all, I can imagine them all dancing on stage singing this song. Like,
yeah,
this part, all the strobe lights going and shit.
I mean, I literally remember that.
Yeah.
Them doing that exactly that way.
Yeah.
The beat's very simple, but it has almost like a EDM feel to it, like a techno kind of sample to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right. It's got some EDM shit to it.
That's
like
interesting. I never paid attention to that.
So really, it definitely has that like strobe light kind of feel to it. Club strobe light,
like a mosquito. I'll suck the blood out of heroin needle.
Jay's verse on this is ridiculous.
Just come with it.
Bit it.
All right, I can't keep doing this. All right,
you're gonna be a blood fountain for real. I mean, his rhythm on this is horrible, but what he's saying is just so fucking great. Yeah. You just it's the most well painted picture in this on this song.
I'll see if Mars is on this. I don't remember. I know there's a few songs he's just not on, so I wasn't quite sure. Anyways, all right, moving on.
I think that is one of them.
Headache. This song's pretty dark.
This song's dark. The hook is great. The hook is in, like, one of those kind of hypnotic ones.
Mm. Like almost like a mental warp. Or,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. This beat.
Like a renditions of reality or something.
This song reminds me a lot of that mental warp.
What's the other one? Confessions, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of put those in the same category.
Monoxide's verse right here, dude. The way he rides this beat is perfect.
Demon Deacon or Beacon? Demon Deacon?
Demon Deacon. I don't know.
I used to argue with Shane that it was Demon Beacon, but I'm pretty sure it's Demon Deacon.
Yeah.
Just the work of Satan. They want my money. Oh, Jamie comes in hard as fuck on this song.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, him and Jamie both ride this beat. Incredible.
From the medication, vital signs is looking weak. Yeah, I love this shit, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I listen to this album, man. I just get caught up in it.
One of the darker songs on this album, this has got to be one of the best ones.
I'm gonna bump this shit tomorrow.
I've been bumping it. Like I've bumped it for like a couple weeks, like a couple weeks ago.
I should have been doing that. I fucked up. I'm just now like getting like remembering this. Like, oh
yeah, I've actually been bumping this pretty hardcore lately.
Let me see, Mark. I just like being reminded what Mars does. Oh yeah, that's just
yeah, he's got a good little flow to it.
Guns getting raped in the pale window. Dylan said Blaze's verse was hot fire. Where was that?
Yeah, as far as Blaze goes, he had a lot of fire verses on this album.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely one of his best verses on the album.
Yeah. Blaze also, like,
he came with it on this album, man. Blaze, like, came with it.
Blaze's, whether Blaze's verse is good or not depends on what voice he decides to use.
Yeah.
Like, and Jamie Madrox is kind of similar to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they all have, like, these little different voices. Yeah. Like, Jay, like, I like all his little voices, like, all Shag's little voices. Jamie, I don't really like it when he does his voice, I guess.
And, yeah. Yeah.
But I like Blaze's voice on that, though.
Yeah, when Blaze puts, like, when he's actually coming from his gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
and same with Jamie on this song. He's like, they want my mind and soul, my butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like his real voice.
That's,
you know?
Jamie coming from his gut.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when Jamie will come from his throat.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I don't like that shit. Like, come from the core, man.
Right.
That's when you get the best sound.
This song is amazing, though. Fuck the devil and I'll throw it at you. All right, anyways.
Says Dylan says Jamie and Blaze steady putting on a character.
Yeah, really. Yeah. That's what, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's fine. I don't hate it when they do that. I just prefer when they don't, you know.
I used to, I really do love this beat. One of my favorite beats on the album. The concept doesn't hold up for me as much anymore.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Let me think. Let me listen to it here.
It's more of the, it's almost like a crybaby song about women.
Oh, okay. I never looked at it like that.
Maybe not everybody's verse. I do like Monoxide's verse a lot on this.
Get on your knees and pray, Lord, this is your judgment day.
Name with the hook is a wild nose. And let the get with the hair and needle.
Bad Rap is my least favorite song on the album, Dylan says.
Is that what this one is? Yeah, Bad Rap.
Do you love me not? Yeah.
My yeah, it. I like know, the fine. Beat. I like the beat because it was kind of like a West Coast funk kind of beat, like one of those. Yeah, like 90s West Coast. It kind of reminded me of that. That's kind of why I liked it. But
got a crack in my head.
All right. It's definitely one of the most. Story-driven songs on this album.
Yeah, like, it's fine. I mean, I don't have any beef with this song. I guess it's probably in the bottom half for me. You
but
know,
they are kind of crying about shit on this album, you know, aren't they?
I guess. They're just like bitching. I don't know about crying. I don't know, man. Quit talking shit, bro. Quit talking shit on my favorite album.
I mean, it was their depressed song. It was their, you know, we're fucked up. Nobody understands us. Women don't like us.
Huh.
Our family don't like us.
I'll give it another close listen. I really have never got that vibe. That's interesting. All right. But then they go right into Bitch, I'm Sexy.
Yeah.
Bitch,
which
I'm
is
sexy.
One of my favorite songs.
I love this fucking song. I
one
love
of my
it.
Favorite songs on this album.
It's so funny. It's so yeah. The beat is fucking slapping.
One of my favorite Jay verses of all time. All time.
Let's listen to it.
You don't remember the end? Jay's verse in the end of
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. How's it start? I know every word to it. Here you go. Oh, here you go.
Bullshit.
Alright. Put my balls.
Hey,
yo, Mars.
He was so hard on this shit.
Oh, yeah, that was Mars.
Mars just went off my
Alright, so we're talking about Jay's verse, though.
Yeah, Jay's verse on this was what. Mars' verse was dope, too, but. I got a
taxi. Get the fuck in. Oh, yeah.
Pay for it, bitch.
Got a taxi, get the fuck in it. Ford, pay for it, bitch. We the Dark Lotus 6. I like that little ding. Jinx.
Now my favorite. Like, every line is a punchline, and like you can feel him punching.
Yeah.
Boom.
Every time he says, bitch.
Yeah.
Right on. Take your pick. You'll be lucky if you get to suck squeaky dick. Bitch, I'm sexy. Take off my shirt. What's that on my back? Dirt. Violet J and the motherfucking load.
I mean, just one of my favorite J verses of all time.
He rapped his verse like as perfect as someone could rap a verse to that beat.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It's perfect. And just like his attitude, he was like, he was the Don in that. Like, he was legit like the mafia fucking Don coming in, putting it down. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. All right. So the next song is Swarm. I don't recall what I called this song. It definitely wasn't Swarm. Let me see. Oh, Jamie spits.
Oh,
Jamie
yeah.
Spit on this.
Yeah, Jamie goes off on this one.
Especially right after Shaggy's slow.
I know. Shaggy
verse.
Comes in and just slows it down. Yeah, this is one of Jamie's best flow styles I think I've ever heard him do.
Yeah. And this song, they all did like four bars or two bars or whatever.
They should have just let Jamie do this whole song. Because after him, like, everybody just sounds not on.
Mars? Oh.
Yeah.
I'd say he tries to mash Jamie a little bit. Yeah, that verse right there is tight as fuck.
Yeah, Mars and Jamie could have held this whole song.
So this is like their metal song. I remember them playing this in concert, like the strobes flash, and they all like shaking their Slipknot dreads and shit.
Yeah, this is probably one of my least favorite songs in the album, though. I do like the guitar riff a lot, though.
Yeah, me too. There is no grace, there is no hell. This is the law, do what thou will. I don't know what we call this song. I don't think anyone ever referred to it because no one really like sweated on it. This is definitely bottom half song. But, it's fine. I know the words. I've listened to it a bunch. I usually don't skip it, but I could, you know.
Every song on this album's good, but Dark Lotus for this album is bottom half of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who my favorite verse on this. I think my favorite verse on this album would...
No.
I think it's Jamie. I think Jamie is my favorite verse on this song.
You can see the inside. I want to die so I can fly.
Yeah, Jamie comes hard on this.
Hell yeah.
Oh, another one of my favorite Jay verses on this album. Not my favorite song on this album, but Jay, one of my favorite Jay verses on this song.
Okay. I like this verse. I haunt my buddies. Find them in the mirror with my eyes all bloody.
Yeah.
Don't look in the ear and be like, I'm only playing.
Yeah. What's the hold on song like? I want to get some angel wings and rip them off, cook them up so I can have some hella wing dings. that line is just great.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's just
yeah, like, Jay's verse on that was great. It was, like, it was, just it was so colorful. Smooth.
Yeah.
It was colorful. It was very colorful, creative.
There you go. Here's Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie flowed on this one.
Especially to that minimal like beat too.
Yeah.
Like I mean he just it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like he rapped all that like while they're just tinkling going on.
There's a lot of little moments like that on this album.
Yeah.
That made this album.
Nice little shining, yeah. Shining moment. Yeah.
Like, and everybody had a moment like that on this album.
So that song's pretty good. Not great, but the songs that are great on this song, on this album, are so fucking great. They carry it. So, like, there's stuff that gets overshadowed that on another album might have been pretty good, but this album, they're just okay, you know?
This song's one of those.
And this song's one of those, for sure. The Crows. This song has like the most like simplistic like kind of weird beat. Yeah.
I never really understood what they were going for on this song.
I think they just wanted to make a dark song. Yeah,
but the chanting and the hook I like, but the verses is what I didn't like.
Yeah.
The verses is kind of what I was like, yeah.
I agree.
But I do like this little section right here with the drum beat changes up.
Yeah. I mean, they did their best with what they could with this beat, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. It's just a little too abstract, I guess. This is like a nice interlude, but
yeah.
As far as the song, no one goes like, The Crows, oh, that's my favorite Dark Lotus song, you know? Oh, whatever. You know, skipping through it. A lot of chanting, that's fine.
But yeah, when it switches up to that, it sounds good.
All right. Not much else to say about that. But, oh.
Yep. And as this song comes on, Dylan Justice says that this is top two Juggalo anthem behind Homies easily.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
I would agree. And I think most Juggalos do agree with that.
Dude, this song, like I'm literally getting chills right now already. Like immediately, dude.
Yeah.
This song like solidifies this album as like being like not only one of the best Juggalo albums of all time, one of the best fucking albums of all time. You know, like everything they say in this song is shit that we all knew. You know what I mean? It's not they weren't telling us shit we didn't know, but we knew that they meant it. You know what I mean? This shit was for real like back then.
At this time, they probably did mean everything they said.
And like especially like I mean how perfect this hook. I'm just gonna play it. Here we go.
But I love Monoxide's verse into this and his opening verse to this is great. It's
fantastic.
And like it sets the mood for the entire song.
Always had Juggalo family. And then I also will always have the memory of going to Hatchet Rising, which by the way, Hatchet Rising tour was ICP, Twisted, Blaze, and Dark Lotus.
Definitely one of the greatest tours they ever did.
I think they may have even squeezed Rida sets on some of those.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it was Blaze, then Twisted, then ICP, then Dark Lotus. I mean, and fucking incredible.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a special night. Yeah. It was a very intimate for an ICP Juggalo concert. That was an intimate night.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like culminated like in it put like the stamp. I think Violent J finally like felt like he was doing something with his career. You know what I mean? Like, especially with, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not to diminish anything else he did at this point. My point is like, I could feel what he was feeling like in the room that night. Like when people started chanting Joe Bruce and like he fucking takes his mask off and it's like, I think he was literally crying, shedding tears on stage.
You know? Yeah.
Well, people were chanting Joe Bruce. Like you fucking did it. You know, this is your fucking legacy, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that you say that, do you think that happened at every show?
I don't know. It happened at ours, and that's all I know.
Yeah, in Columbus. It happened at the Newport.
Yeah.
And I think at that time, there was a lot. We had a lot of jugglers coming from other states and shit, other cities.
Yeah.
Because I always remember seeing Detroit jugglers, Cleveland, coming down to Columbus.
I mean, maybe. I don't think they were hitting like all the cities in Ohio at that time or whatever, but I know they came here every fucking time.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. You know, it felt like a big deal.
We didn't notice it at the time, but there were a lot of people that came to the Newport from other cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Newport is like one of the most famous venues. So.
Yeah,
people would come to that and it might. I don't know, man. That'd be a good question to ask around to see if that happened at every show where he would take the mask off and people were chanting.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. Like, and like it was right at the end of the song. I mean, I feel like they chanted Lotus for 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah, it went on. It fucking for sure went on.
But it was fine. You know, it could have lasted forever.
No, everybody's
in that moment, dude. We were all already covered in Faygo. And
everybody was standing there just like living it and soaking it. It was a true moment that everybody was in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel
like when people say just live in the moment, be part of the moment, that was happening right there that night. It was truly a moment that if you were there, you didn't forget it.
Yeah. And this song always brings back those memories, man.
Like, yeah.
Just so, I mean, this song embodied like everything we all felt at the gathering at that time. Like, I mean, as soon as we got this album, like the next day, you know, everyone listened to it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone had the same feeling. Like, it was so awesome, man. I don't know. Because then there they go, chanting Lotus at the end. It'd be amazing if the family would get back together. Preach.
Oh, yeah.
Preach, Chris.
For sure.
I mean, I was really happy to see that Twisted posted something about, I guess, Bizarre, that Shaggy did some show just last week. Some like random festival, like Bizarre or whatever from the Lars.
People
from M&E. But yeah, they did it together. They had a picture of them like hanging together and Twisted like shared and shit. Like, you know, Shaggy hanging with Lars or whatever, you know, but I think that's a good like stepping stone to possibly mending.
Yeah, man.
You know?
It might be Shaggy, dude. Shaggy could be the catalyst to do it. Honestly,
so?
Yeah.
I would love it. I mean, if that happened, Shaggy, like it would be incredible.
Think about it. Shaggy has the power. If Shaggy went to Twisted and said, "Hey, you know what I mean? Like, you guys know Jay. Let's talk to him. I can talk." Shaggy has the power. Shaggy can go to Jay and be like, "Jay, like, we got to do this, bro. Yeah. Like, just swallow your shit, swallow your pride.
Damn.
And let's do this." Like, because Jay can't do shit without Shaggy. They can't do ICP. Shaggy has more power than people fucking let on, than give him.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
He
man.
Really does.
I believe it. I mean, I'm sure.
If Shaggy stood up and said, "Jay, this is what we're doing," Jay would fucking listen.
I believe it.
He for sure
if
would.
If there's anybody he would listen to, it probably is Shaggy.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Well, I mean, everybody kind of gives Jay a lot of the credit in all of this whole world because we all know it's his, like, brainchild. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
The Dark Carnival is Jay's. You know what I mean? It says it right there.
Yeah.
But.
And Shaggy's never denied it.
But, he's brought us all along for the ride. Him and Shaggy have built it, you know what I mean? But it started from Jay's seed. And everyone's aware of that.
From Jay's seed, but Shaggy is what gave Jay the confidence and the inspiration and motivation to do it.
I can believe that.
Like, without Shaggy, I don't think Jay would have been able to do it.
Dude, imagine how many times they've probably done it to each other. How many times have they talked each other off the ledge? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, everybody needs a Shaggy, bro. Yeah. Everybody needs a Shaggy. Someone that's down to ride until for you, man. Like, he's lucky he had that. That's why he was able to do it, is because he had a Shaggy. You know what I'm saying? Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it kind of, that's... Being a duo, you kind of need someone to be your yin to your yang, you know?
It was
I think they do that.
It was a perfect thing because Jay definitely had the creativity to do his own thing, but not a lot of people can do it by themselves. Not a lot of people have that other side that can bring them back down to reality and say, hey man, maybe you're going a little too far out here like this. Why don't we do it this way?
I mean, especially with Jay's track record with mental issues and shit like that. He probably needs a nice rock to rely on. I'm sure Shaggy's been that guy a lot of times, So, what you're saying could happen. I hope so. I would love him nothing more than, and by the way, I don't care about if they stay separate. Like, M&E is M&E now. Like, I'm not wishing that Twisted comes back to Psychopathic. They got their own business. It's going great, supposedly, from what I can see. Keep doing your thing, but I think we can have a little unity. We can get Twisted back at the gathering. We can get collaborations. We can get a new fucking Dark Lotus album.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that's out of the question. They just got to set aside the bullshit.
Yeah.
And I think everyone kind of hopes for that at least.
Yeah. And I know Jay said, I think in one of the last couple years at the gathering, one of the seminars, he said, we will never do shit with Twisted ever again. Yeah. I know he said that, but how many times has Jay said something and either it didn't happen or he said, we'll never do this and then it does happen?
Yeah. Like, we've all said fucked up shit like that. Yeah. So you can say a lot when there's, in the heat of the moment, when there's passion.
I think Chris asked where we are from. We are from the central Ohio, Columbus area.
Yes.
But yeah, so.
The final track is .com, what they just mentioned. But all, like, for almost 5 minutes straight, all of the weird Juggalo groups and websites and hotlines and all kinds of cool shit.
Did they mention your guys's?
I had a Juggalo website at the time.
Yeah.
I was, friends with Scotty D online and shit. he was coming up with Faga Lovers and shit. Yeah. I had my site and we really put in a good fucking try for a few years, man, but weren't big enough to get on .com. And soon after that, we kind of fizzled out.
You think it was because of that?
I think at the time, now I don't care, but at the time I might have been a little annoyed that we didn't ever got on that. But I don't think it was enough to make me want to quit the site. I just got kind of I think my partner I did it with kind of got over it too, and we just kind of fell out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of got to be a hit though. It's like, damn, they come out with .com and they say how many fucking sites. And
I mean, back then, do you remember those websites that had ranking of other websites? I don't know, I can't remember what the fuck they were called. Anyways, I would try to get it. There was always Real Juggalos and Faga Lovers and Juggalo.com at the top. Mm-hmm. I would always try to get ours up there. We would be in the top 50 or whatever. Yeah. But never anything.
I just think you guys probably just didn't have a good big enough team.
Yeah. We tried.
I know Fegelar's probably always had a decent sized team.
Yeah.
Doing shit.
We tried to I would hire people. I mean, I'm 14 fucking years old. I would try to hire people from boards, but you posted these days. I would do it.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about back then. Yeah. But anyways, nevertheless, that's what .com is.
He said, Ohio, whoop, whoop, Millennium Force, Cedar Point. Hell yeah. Haven't been to Cedar Point probably 10 years, man, but I grew up going to Cedar Point, Kings Island.
I've been to Kings Island. I've never been to Cedar Point, but I don't really do rides and shit.
Cedar Point was, I think, was always a little bit better than Kings Island.
Yeah. I that's what I always heard, but I never went.
Yeah.
Real quick, we'll wrap it up. I just wanted to quickly, I had a few pictures from the in-store, from the Tales from the Lotus Pod in-store we did. This is an interesting one. I don't know that they really didn't paint their faces in the Dark Lotus style much after this. They always wore masks and shit.
Yeah, that's right.
But they used to like wear face paint, like this cross face paint. There's Jay.
We painted our faces that day, didn't we?
Yeah, here's a picture of me. I got a picture of you right here.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a picture of me with some chick. I want to take a picture with her just because she had huge tits, obviously. But this cool Dark Lotus
shirt. Got signed.
Yeah. Here's Carver, a young Carver, with the same chick and another weird like transgender, as far as I can tell. let's see, get a picture, closer picture. It's not zooming in. Oh, anyways, there's Carver with his face paint. And this is my brother and Blaze Your Dead Homie right there.
Yeah, remember those.
This is Shaggy giving my brother advice right there. Looks like he's like telling him some shit. And here's my brother and Jamie Madrox too.
Nice.
Can't remember if that was before or after Jamie Madrox yelled at me. But
I like that one of Jay though. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's a good picture of Jay.
And evidence of your shit getting signed right there.
Yeah, that's right. Who needs a certificate of authenticity?
Yeah.
Post them on Reddit. I will post those up on Reddit. And also here's the ad for it that was in the local paper. I still have that shit. The little
I forgot about that. What paper was that?
I think it was from the other paper.
Okay.
Which, by the way, it says Dark Lotus is Insane Clouds, Twisted Blaze and Mars. And I think, you know what? That might have been the first time we thought there was turmoil with Mars. Like, he did the album and then, like, he wasn't on the in-store tour.
Yeah.
We're like, even though right here on the ad, it shows fucking Mars. Look, Friday, August 10th at Cruisin' Tunes.
Cruisin' Tunes. I remember that. Yeah.
That was up at Polaris
Parkway, Columbus. 614, man. Yeah. That's where we're from.
Man, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that, though. But yeah, he wasn't there. And I remember us being like, we heard Mars wasn't going to be here. What's up with Mars?
Look how out of place, though, he looks.
Yeah,
with all of them. You got like all of them. They're all painted up, looking all juggalo crazy. And then it's just him just chilling. I'm just normal looking.
I was hyped for Mars, man. I bought Mars a CD. I went to Media Play and bought it. It was called Lung Fu Mo Shi, and it was like half rock, half rap type shit. It was fine.
Was it good?
It was fine. It wasn't like
good. I don't remember.
It wasn't super good. I remember our buddy Richard, he really liked it. He borrowed it from me and like bumped it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. I remember him talking about that. Yeah. Jesus for Juggalos featuring Mars. Yeah, we went on. We talked about that in the beginning. I did not know anything about Mars. I didn't know he was for Jesus and all that now, but hey, a lot of artists do that. A lot of them go to Jesus.
Yeah.
They get fucked up and they do some fucked up shit in their time and,
they need to repent.
Yeah.
Something happens. It's usually something happens, you know?
Yeah.
Oh well. But nevertheless, man, reach out to Mars, tell him to hit us up. We sing his praises here. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do you want me to you want to wrap this bitch up?
Yeah, man.
I was thinking it might be interesting. This might take too long. I don't know. This Dark Lotus album has this cool like seance instructions. Do you want me to read that at the end?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read this.
Me neither. Let's read it.
To tell you the truth, I've never read this.
I'll read this. This is instructions for it says gazing into the netherworld. A self-induced seance. So here's instructions for you guys. This is in the back of the Dark Lotus album right here. I'll read them for you. All right. This seance is for those who wish to contact and see ghostly apparitions of the spiritual world. Be forewarned, for this technique has been known in rare cases to bring madness to the weak-minded, for the visions that were seen proved too overwhelming for them. Also know that by trying this, you'll be dealing with supernatural beings that may or may not be peaceful. I feel like I need to put on some seance music. Let me Google that.
Google seance music. Be careful, man. We don't want to fucking raise some demon.
I know.
Fucking get raped by the fucking barrel of a gun.
There's a demon inside of me. Can I kill it? All right, here we go. Oh, I feel too spooky now.
Yeah, that kind of set the mood, didn't it?
All right. The seance is at the least highly unpredictable. And if done successfully, you will see and hear things that are not of this world. From seeing floating purple hazes to having conversations with the dead. This is a vessel for those who seek understanding of the afterlife. Doing this seance is simple. First, place a large mirror, preferably at least 4 foot tall, in a small room, like a large closet. that is completely void of all light. You may have to plug up small openings or place towels under the crack of any doors to get the desired effect. But once done, there shouldn't even be a speck of light inside the darkened room. Not even enough to see the mirror. Next, yeah, I like that, man. That's good. Next, place a comfortable chair in front of the mirror at about a foot's distance. Finally, you should make the room as sound-free as possible. A good way to do this is to make sure there are no people or animals in the house and no appliances on while the seance is taking place.
Damn, you gotta turn your fridge off too?
I guess so. Let me fast forward. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's creepy, dude. Keep in mind that the person conducting the seance should have an easy way to escape the room in case things should go bad. All right. Once all preparations have been made, someone should go into this room alone and sit and gaze into the mirror in silence for at least 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Much like a regular seance, the individual should focus his or her mind and heart to the willful acceptance of spirits. This will act as a beacon to the spirits who are out there and draw them in. Typically, ghostly images should begin to appear in 10 to 30 minutes, but sometimes it takes longer. If at any time you see or hear anything that should be considered demonic in nature, you should say aloud and with meaning, close the gate and leave the room immediately.
Wow.
All right. So let us know if you try that. Hit us up.
I've never tried it. That reminds me of some Bloody Mary shit.
I know, it is.
Kid, remember that?
I would never do this. I'm scared of spirits.
Dude, I wouldn't fuck with it, bro. That demonic shit, like.
Yeah, it's too creepy for me. Too spooky for me.
I'm fucking good on that demonic shit, man.
All right. Great. Anything else?
I think we're good, man.
Ready to wrap this bitch up?
Yeah. We covered everything. Even read the damn seance, which I never have, but shit.
Yeah, me neither.
There we go.
All right, bro. Well, thanks for checking us out. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you guys next time on Deck One Delta. Hit us on all the socials. Actually, we're on Facebook and YouTube, and Spotify. You can listen to our pod if you don't have any other podcast app, whatever podcast app you have. Our shit's on there, you know. You ready to shuffle the fuck up on out of here, bro?
Yep, I'm gonna slide it right back into the deck.
All right, we'll catch you guys later. Thanks for watching. We'll peace. See you guys next time. Take one down.